This is the day the Lord's made. Amen. We're going to step in it. And drive out all evil. Because we're restrainers of evil. Glory to God. Welcome to Sunday Morning Live. Is there a reason I have a pencil up here that says something? Help? Glory to God. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Glory. Wow, that's powerful. 2 Timothy 1. Good morning, good morning. Isn't it a good morning? There isn't anything greater to start your day off than in the presence of God. I mean, I'm telling you. Why? Because you've connected with heaven and now you're home again, even though you're here. It's all temporary. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. Let's speak it together. I thank God whom I serve with a pure what? Conscience. A conscience. In other words, it's connected. It's clean. As my forefathers did, and as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also, inherited faith. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power and of love and of a sound mind. One of the things the Spirit said to me today, he says, one of the problems I'm seeing in my children is that they are not maintaining a sound mind. He said, one of the things the enemy is doing is breaking a sound mind in my children. See, a pure conscience is associated with a sound mind. If your conscience is not pure, then it's not sound mind. He said, I am mindful. In other words, he's thinking. His focus is on the things of God, not the things of man. Genuine faith. He said, to remind us to rewind. Remind us to what? Rewind. Stir up. Praying in the Spirit. What's he doing? Against sin of fear. Remember, fear is sin. Sin is the presence of evil. It's not just something where fear is just, fear is too nonchalantly taken. Fear is evil. It is the presence of evil. And it breaks the foundation of a sound mind. And I'm going to say that again. It breaks the foundation of a sound mind. And where there's the sound mind, there's also love, and then there's power. Amen? So the foundation is the sound mind, which is the mind of Christ. Once it is breached, so is his love. And so was his power. Once that is breached, so was his love and so was his power. And a person will fall right back into flesh, carnality, and false fulfillments. In Romans chapter 7. Maintaining a sound mind. Romans 7. Hallelujah. In verse 13. Romans 7, verse 13. You know, everything that we're going through right now, praise God, we're going through. Everything is preparation. Everything is refining. Everything is burning out. Everything is exposing. The body of Christ is going through hell on earth. I mean, the body of Christ is going through it. But if the body is going through it, just think what the world's going through. Because God is purifying us and bringing us out like gold to get us ready to prosper. You know, when you go to the grocery store, one bag ain't enough. Amen? So he's got to stretch us out where we can carry a bunch. So he's enlarging in everything, but he's moving in an escalated time, even though 3 months seems like forever. But we're actually moving fast. Things are escalating. Next thing we'll know, we'll be home. Yes. Verse 13. Romans 7:13, I believe. Yeah. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Remember, the Ten Commandments, known as the law at that time, was to expose sin. It didn't remove it. It didn't erase it. It exposed it. That's all it did. So what did they have to do? They could only cover it through the sacrifice of animals. But then the true sacrifice came, Jesus, where sin could actually be removed by your authority. So you would have access to that sin now to remove it through the blood of Christ. But see, even they didn't have access to the sin, the presence of evil. The only thing they could do was cover it by a sacrifice. Does everybody get it? Verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin, the presence of evil. And what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. So listen, one of the things I don't want to hear is any excuses. God doesn't want us to have an excuse just because sin is in us that it should have dominion over us. Just because we have flesh and it's pure sin and pure evil doesn't mean it should have dominion over us. You can't compromise that, well, it's just the flesh. Doesn't work. We have dominion over it. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Verse 15, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but the presence of evil that dwells in me, or in my flesh. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. That must be so understood. And I don't think it's understood or not enough. It's kind of ignored. Sometimes people are trying to go beyond the flesh, looking into the spiritual, when their flesh right now is what's provoking them. For I know that in me, that is my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but to how to perform what is good, I do not find. Where? In the flesh. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me, the presence of evil that dwells in me. See, so you can't blame anything or anyone. I don't care what's ever happened to you. You have a choice to accept it or reject it. You have a choice to forgive and bless. You have a choice to accept what God says or accept what man says or what your emotions say. That is the power to choose. He said that I find, in verse 21, a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. In other words, he's saying, man, there's a part of me that wills to do good, but there's a part of me that just wants to do evil. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. That's his new creation. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my thoughts. Why? Because as a man thinks, so he is. I'm telling you, what the enemy's purpose is to break down a sound mind. And what is this doing? Bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? He's realizing that his body is nothing but pure sin. It's the presence of evil. It's the offspring of Satan. And he can't get rid of it. I mean, he went to the Lord one time, cried about it, and said, Lord, you know, this thorn in my flesh is killing me. He said, listen, my grace is sufficient. Use my plan. Why? You can't get rid of the flesh. It must be crucified. That's what he did, and that's what you and I must do. And how do we crucify it? By being led by the Spirit. So when people are in the flesh, it's because they're not being led by the Spirit. Amen? And if they're not being led by the Spirit, then they're not in sound mind. Because the mind of Christ is no longer leading them. The carnal mind is. Oh, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, with the thoughts, the new man, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of death, or the presence of evil, or sin. See, the law of God exposes sin, the presence of evil, its evil influence. But it doesn't remove it. It exposes it. The law of God, there's the law of God and the law of sin. Amen? One leads to heaven, one leads to hell. One leads to life, one leads to death. It is the battle over your choices of agreement. That's where that battle is. Always trying to get you to agree with the works of the flesh or anything that's contrary to God so that it can disqualify you in connection and activity of the mind of Christ. Remember, flesh serves the law of sin. It can never get into heaven. Never. Your carnal mind will not get into heaven. Thank God. I don't want to see anybody else's carnal mind, and you don't want to see anyone else's carnal mind. It's triple X. Hallelujah. But the mind of the Spirit is spiritual thoughts. It serves the law of God. Does everybody understand that? So again, one of the things the enemy is trying to do is break down the sound mind. That's his purpose. That's his focus. If he can begin to break it down, even little bit by little bit, it begins to disqualify the connection to the mind of Christ, which has dominion over all things. Again, as a man thinks, so he what? Is. In Romans 8, verse 5. It says what? For those who live according to the... Is anybody there? Come on, you were right next door. You didn't have to drive there. For those who live according to the flesh, set their what? Their minds, their thoughts on the things of the world. Flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, to be fleshly minded, carnally minded, is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And of course, to be carnally minded is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Simple as that. It lets you know, living according to the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life, has lost or have no foundation now. It's been broke. Because a sound mind is placed on a solid foundation. I'm going to say that again. A sound mind is placed on a solid foundation. A foundation is weakened by unstable mind. An unstable mind will weaken a foundation. Again, as a man thinks, so he is. And 1 Timothy chapter 4. So we've got to be aware right now that the enemy is trying to break down a sound mind. This is his focus. Look at what's going on everywhere. Look at all the minds that are broke down. Think about it. People are bound in fear. Man, we went to a place yesterday to go pick up a U-Haul. I walked in there without a mask. This guy freaked out. I almost took off my restraint and choked him. If I didn't get out of there, I was going to pound him. I had to get out of there, man. I was about to get in the flesh big time. This guy was so irate and so disrespectful. And I walked out. Of course, I told him he was stinking crazy. I went and got a mask, came in. He said, "I ain't serving you." Oh. Oh, bakata kasi la boko. I was looking for David. Where you at, man? I'm going to kill this guy. Better pull me out of here. Just rude and disgusting. And I thought, my God, you want to really manifest a Democrat? Take your mask off. Whew. Anyways, God made a way. We didn't get no U-Haul anywhere. Everybody was out. But he made a way to a place where we met this pastor. We didn't know he was a pastor. He was hanging drywall, and he came outside, and we said, "Hey," said something, and he said, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah." I said, "What you guys doing?" He said, "We're doing a church here." I said, "Cool, man. What's up?" We ended up talking. We made a connection, brought us into the building. Come to find out, their ministry rents out U-Hauls. Although they didn't have one for us. Because they were remodeling their church, all their U-Hauls were filled with all their stuff. But we made a wonderful connection, so God turned it to the good, and I blessed and forgave that dude, and then I called destructive fire. No, I don't. David and I prayed for him. Hallelujah. Yes, dear. Oh, yeah, we did find a truck. Thanks. So the Lord directed us as we were driving. David said, "Oh, it's called Mark Anthony." I was like, "Okay, praise God." So Mark rescued us. Thank you, Jesus. Anyways, again, in the area to where you're, when you're realizing that the enemy is trying to break down the sound mind, you know, I mean, I was battling. I didn't have to give that guy all night long. You kidding me? I found myself thinking about something. Oh, that's old man, man. That's old man. I really wanted to tell him, "Brother, if you'd have known me before, I wouldn't have left unless you were." Anyways. Praise God. I emailed that to someone one day because somebody was saying something. I hung up on him and said, "Look, God bless you. I forgive you. Now it's done over with." This guy started texting me. I texted him back and said, "Listen, if you'd have known me before, you wouldn't be texting me the way you do today." I said, "But thank God I'm no longer who I used to be." Oh, man, he ended up calling my family and saying I accused him. I was threatening him and all kinds of stuff. What a wussy. He had no sound mind at all. Nor does he have one today. But anyways. Where did I say to go? Romans 8? We already were there, right? Praise God. So if you live according to the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life, your sound mind is... Remember, a sound mind is established on a sound foundation. Amen? 1 Timothy 4. Oh, you're there already. Nice. Nobody told me. Verse 1. God, is it hot in here or is it you? Glory. Verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says what? In the latter times, some will depart from the connection to the throne, faith, giving heed to doctrines, or giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their own conscience seared with a what? Hot iron. In other words, they depart from a sound mind, allowing the solid foundation to be contaminated. This is invasion of deceiving, provoking spirits that carry a voice of destruction to break down the will. I'm going to say this again. To break down the will to agree with the mind of Christ. They want to break down the will, your choice, to agree with the mind of Christ. Amen? And what does the mind of Christ uphold? A solid foundation. Sound mind equals solid foundation. Fear is the powerful emotional attack against the mind of Christ by causing a turn to carnal fleshly thoughts of agreement. And in this, it's resulting in because of compromise, complacency, or laziness, and then the result is false fulfillment. Amen? Do I need to repeat that? Fear is the powerful emotional attack against the mind of Christ by causing a turn to the carnal fleshly thoughts or minds of agreements. It turns us. And how did it access? Because it was resulted because of compromise, complacency, or laziness, lack of God's presence, lack of feeding your spirit, lack of confession and decree. Because your confession is what changes your atmosphere. And then it brings a false fulfillment. Because when there is a breakdown of the sound mind, it's replaced by another fulfillment. Is everybody okay? In Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Oh, happy days. Maintaining a sound mind. You know, think about when a person... is one of the things that the enemy likes to do is get somebody into a trauma. Traumas come in multiple ways. A trauma is actually an emotional attack. Even if there's an accident or some forth, what's the result of fear? Amen? You can get on a boating accident. You can almost drown, and then all of a sudden it stays with you. You know, there are people afraid of heights because of something that occurred. Now, there's a reverence in the areas to where, you know, you got to respect fire and you got to respect 20 stories. Amen? You got to respect trucks coming down the road and the highway. And there's areas where you got to respect evil. and not an area where you submit to it, but acknowledge that if you allow it in you, it will kill you. And I think a lot of times things are over exaggerated just because we're Christians that we can't be touched. Well, that's not true. In fact, the powers of darkness want to kill every Christian available because we're the only threat to them. Amen? And all the other religions, they're not a threat to them. They serve them. There's only one kingdom that is a threat to the kingdom of evil, and that is the kingdom of Christ. So they're going to do everything they can to kill you. Remember, the word tells us that. But they can't really get to you because we're protected unless they can begin to break down the sound mind. So that's their approach in everything, is breaking down a sound mind. In Psalm 32 and verse 1, let's speak it. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is what? No deceit. What's Satan's greatest weapon? Deception. And his power is fear. And that's not changed. When I kept silent, my bones grew what? In other words, when I didn't release a confession or decree, I allowed the enemy close to me to draw and drain me. And my bones began to get dry. Through my groaning all day long, for night and day your hand was heavy upon me, my vitality turned into the what? Drought, dry of summer. I acknowledged my sin or the presence of evil to you, and my curse, iniquity, I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions, my acts of sin to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. In other words, he forgave the curse. Listen, one of the things the enemy loves to do is get you cursed. He knows that if he's got a curse, he's got a key to open to you. A curse is a legal right to access me and you. Does everybody get it? So he's always trying to get a curse to me and you somehow, to sway us, to trip us up, to snare us, to get us to do something, to agree with something. His purpose is to get us accursed. Now, the word says a curse without a cause is no effect. Amen? But a curse caused by a cause is effective. Amen? It says, verse 6, for this cause, everyone who is godly will pray to you, Lord, in time when you may be found. It means there must be a seeking. Surely in the flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. For you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of what? Deliverance. Do you notice how you changed after we worshiped? It was almost like I didn't want to stop. We almost didn't. But I have to be obedient. I can't be led by what I want or what I feel. The voice of God supersedes everything. Make sure it's his voice, though. Oh, this is so powerful. I love it. What does he say then? Verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Now, he just said, I'm going to surround you with songs of deliverance. In other words, my presence is going to come, but without my presence, you're really not going to be instructed. You're really not going to know the ways to go. So what the enemy's going to try to do is prevent you from maintaining a sound mind by keeping you from the presence of God, and by keeping you from staying filled with the presence of God, and by keeping you from being fed by the word or the voice of God. Amen? Remember, his purpose is to break down a sound mind. So people become fearful, confused, misled. I will guide you with my eye. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Man, we all need mercy. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Let me share with you something here, because he said our confession. Sometimes he wants us to target certain things, especially in confession. He wants us to expose. When people have wrong confessions, they're not targeting the true source of invasion. They may be repenting for something else that God is trying to bring them to something else to repent to. Well, Lord, I repent for everything. I repent for this. He says, but you don't see this. This is what I'm wanting you to repent for right here. Why do you keep jumping over it, covering over it, and justifying it? Repent for this right now. Is it in my word? Then why aren't you repenting it? Are you submitting to everything in my word? Then why aren't you repenting of this? See, that's wrong confession. Amen. Not targeting the true source of invasion will bring draining of your spirit. It brings dryness to soul. See, we're seeking him to find relief because he is the fulfillment of all relief. Amen. That's why he gives us songs of deliverance. Again, a sound mind is a sound foundation. And where there's a sound mind, sound foundation, there's an upright heart. Sound mind, sound foundation, upright heart. Now, what comes out of the mouth is going to determine whether there is a sound foundation. I mean, a solid foundation with a sound mind and an upright heart. The mouth will always expose. It's evident of everything. Romans 12. Many are called and few are chosen. There's going to be many that are going to walk away during this 90 days. And I'm not saying from here. I'm just saying globally. Many are walking away. You better not walk away from here. We'll come and shoot you. We'll let you repent first, though. Oh, happy days. Aren't you glad we're not religious? Dear God, was that guy religious, man? Romans 12 and verse 1. Hallelujah. Let's speak it together. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your responsibility or reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. Amen? But be transformed by the renewing, the refreshing, the restoring, the reconnecting, the regeneration of your mind, your thoughts to Christ, that you may prove what is that good and that acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, here you're renewing, refreshing, restoring, reconnecting to the mind of Christ. You're producing a sound mind on a solid foundation, maintaining the restraints of the flesh and boundaries of corruption. So what happens here? A sound mind will always have a fruit of discernment. It will always have a fruit of what? Discernment. Why? You are sensitive to the boundaries. In fact, you are very sensitive to the boundaries. Boundaries of what? Boundaries to where the restraints, if you step over, it means you've lost them. You step over a certain territory you're not allowed to go to, the enemy has a right to take your restraint. I'm telling you, things are happening so much now. It's overwhelming. Things that I never even saw or understood before, that God is just releasing and letting us know, because he's exposing all the tricks, strategies, little things that the enemy is doing to trip up God's people, to break down a sound mind, and to steal, kill, and destroy. Remember, he fears you. He fears you. So what he's trying to do is kill you in any way he can. Is everybody okay? John 10:10. In verse 10, the thief does not come except to what? Steal. To what? Kill. To what? Destroy. Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and that they have more abundantly. It must become a reality that the devil is after you. Your mind, your thoughts, to convert you back into his image. And if he can't convert you back into his image, then he wants to kill you. This is the reality. This must be understood. That's why people go back to drugs, alcohol, pornography, this, that, whatever. Medications they don't really need to take. Amen? That's because of a sound mind has been broken. It must become a reality that the devil is after you and that you must become discerning. If the sound mind is there, that you can't touch things that will cause contamination. Oppression, rejection, disease, sin, all of these things are areas that the devil dwells in. Just because the doctor says it's okay doesn't mean God says it is. Just because, what is it, the Food Administration, whatever, what is it, FDA? I don't want to even think what it stands for. Food and Drug Administration. Just because they say it's okay doesn't mean it's okay. People are dying because they're submitting to wrong, corrupt counsel. Amen? See, the law of the life of the Spirit is to deny yourself, pick up the cross, the sword, and follow. It is supported by a sound mind in Christ. Does everybody get it? See, so the law of life, the law of the Spirit of God, the law, which is deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. If a sound mind is there, you will deny yourself instantly. No! I'm not touching that. I don't agree with that, Doc. I got another doctor. I don't agree with this saying. I don't agree with... Does everybody understand it? Look, if your father doesn't agree with it, what right do you? And people wonder why the sound mind is being broken down and the foundation is being destroyed. Because the enemy has convinced individuals that the world has something better to offer than God. Remember something, to try is to fail. I'm going to say that again, to try is to fail. To do is victory. Well, I'll try it. Well, you're an idiot. Just do it. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. I think God's sticking everyone in a narrow gate. Everybody in here. He says, get in here while the calamity goes over you. Hey, we are in the storm. It's not that we're not in the eye, we're in it. Glory to God. Colossians 3. You know, I found out in reality about this place that blew up in Lebanon. It was actually a portal. It was a portal where they were bringing them in. They destroyed the whole place, man. It was also a storehouse for the stuff they used for explosives. Can you imagine? There was tons of it there. But they were also using it as a port to transport, smuggle in women, children, so forth, and whatever. They destroyed that whole place, sunk it. Boy, we should see what it looks like now. It's gone. That's just the beginning. There's fires all over the place. Daddy is on the move. Things are happening. The deep state is screaming and crying and lying. You know, nothing new. Colossians 3, verse 1. Let's speak it together, please. Then if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your thoughts, your minds, your focus on the things above, not on the things of the earth. In other words, set your focus on the promises of God. What does he say? That's how you live from the future to the present. Remember, the enemy's always trying to sever where you're living from your past to the present instead of from the future to the present. Somebody comes up and says, remind you of your past all the time. Shut them up. The only time I use my past is a testimony of what God has done for me. Amen? Or some, you know, whatever. But nothing to promote or exalt. Amen? It's nothing to be promoted or exalted about. Not at all. It's what God has done for us. Set your mind in the things above. Live from the future and not in the things of the earth. For you died. Everyone said, I died. And my life is hidden in Christ. Come on, say it. Amen. For if you died, then your life is hidden in Christ. In other words, but that's a part of the law of the Spirit of life. To deny yourself is to die. Amen? When Christ, who is our life, appears. I love that. Christ, who is our life. So you're no longer your life. The world is no longer your life. Your family is no longer your life. You are no longer inherited by this world anymore. Your inheritance from this world has been severed. You are now have an inheritance that's from above. Amen? Now, you may have certain traits that you may look like your mother, your father, or whoever. Amen? But the character is no longer transferred to you. For when our life appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your what? Your members. How about your memories? Which are of the earth or on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Can a Christian become a son of disobedience? Yes. In which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. And don't lie to one another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds and put on a new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Set your mind, not on earthly. Amen. Live above the world and all its thoughts and cares. I'm going to say it again. Live above the world and all its thoughts and cares. Titus 3. Hallelujah. Titus 3. Is everybody okay? Verse 1. Titus 3, verse 1, it says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceful, gentle, showing all humility to all men. Now, of course, at this time, I want you to understand, he's talking about righteous rulers. Amen? Now, there are, of course, laws and regulations that you and I submit to. We obey. Amen? But then there's things that we know that are not of God. Unfortunately, Paul and some of the guys got thrown in jail because they would not submit to the things that they knew were not of God. But God showed them favor. See, they were not in fear. They weren't in fear. People are so much in fear, it's incredible to me. Hallelujah. You know, everybody's going to get sick. Oh, I'm not going to get sick. Oh, you already are. Everybody has it in them now. Whatever has been released into the world, everybody gets, no matter what. Everybody here in this room could probably be tested for positive Corona beer or coronavirus. But it doesn't mean that you're ill. Does everybody understand? But see, the world will, and of course they'll lie anyways. Come on, they were sending blank things up to the testing, and they were coming back positive, so we know what they were doing. They were collecting cash for every positive result. And they're actually killing people because they don't need to even be on these respirators. I mean, there's a lot of testimonies out there of these nurses that just couldn't handle it anymore, watching them purposely killing people for money. Or their hospitals were empty and so forth and whatever. And I'm not saying not all of them, but of course, anybody who gets sick, and if you go to a hospital for a broken finger, you're going to get put in there for corona. I'm telling you. They get big bucks for that. But things are changing. People are waking up today. They're realizing what's going on. Verse 3. Verse 3. For we ourselves were also once foolish. Hello. Disobedient and deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Through what? The washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his plan, his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. And these things I want you to affirm constantly, to that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works, or what I want to say is a sound mind. These things are good and profitable to men. Awesome. Go to Mark 13. Glory. Mark 13 and 14. Jesus said to them, he said, so when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountain. Let him who is on the housetop not go down into the house, nor enter to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babes in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter. For in those days there will be tribulation, such as not been seen since the beginning of creation, which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days. I want you to understand that right now time is moving fast. That's called shortening of days. Now, we've not hit this part of the tribulation yet. We haven't hit the great tribulation. We're still coming out of the birth pangs, which is all emotional attacks. But we have seen right now that the time is moving fast and the days are becoming shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, there is the Christ, or look, he is there, don't believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possibly even elect. How many of y'all know vaccination is a deception? Do you understand that they're beginning to create all of these things for people? This is a part of that great deception that's happening. But take heed. See, I have told you all things beforehand. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars of heaven will fall and the powers in heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of the heaven. Now learn this parable: when the fig tree, which its branches have already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also know, when you see these things happening, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each of his work and commanded the doorkeeper to what? Watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, or crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. Lest, coming suddenly, he find you what? Sleeping. How are you going to go to sleep? Begin to break down a sound mind. We'll put a person to sleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Watch. And the close of 1 Peter 5. You can't watch if you're asleep. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, all you people, submit yourselves to your elders and each other. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. So he's always making a way of escape for the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, which means what? Alert. Be vigilant, which means consistent. In other words, you're maintaining your routine. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. so you're not the only one. And may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered, trained a while, perfect you, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you into the things of God with a sound mind and a solid foundation. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that you'd quicken us and remind us to the areas that the enemy is trying to dismantle our sound mind and trust in you. Lord, everyone here today, I pray protection of a sound mind. And I ask, Lord, that they would be even more discerning and recognizing the strategies and attacks of the enemy to dismantle their sound mind and open the doors of the enemy. We thank you, Father, for the mind of Christ, that the mind of Christ would constantly be activated in each and every one, because we choose the mind of Christ over the mind of carnality. In Jesus' name. Prepare your hearts for communion. You may bring up any tithes and offerings.